It is my pleasure to introduce to you Ryan Scott Bomberger, Chief Creative Officer of the Radiance Foundation. His topic is adoption and the power of possibility.
Good morning, everybody.
No, didn't cut the mustard. Let's try that again. Good morning, everybody.
Yes, this is a pro-life conference. Can we show a little bit of life? Just asking. It is a joy to be here. Thank you, Cleveland Right to Life, Molly, and the whole team. Thank you. It's a privilege to be able to speak about what we're all passionate about. Maybe I'm just assuming. Are we all passionate about the issue of life? Okay. Woo! Okay, there's some life here. Of course, and I'm talking about from the moment of conception to the moment of natural death. We aren't just one issue folks, because actually this one issue pretty much encompasses everything. So I'm going to tell you a little bit about who I am, why I do what I do, and today's topic is something I'm just a little biased about, adoption, the power of possibility. My name is Ryan Bomberger, and I'm from Lancaster County, Pennsylvania. Has anybody ever been to Pennsylvania Dutch Country? Yes! Woo! Had any apple dumplings? Shoe fly pie? Ham loaf, whoopie pies. They're delicious. If you've never had a whoopie pie, you need to have some. But that's where I'm from. I'm currently the Chief Creative Officer of the Radiance Foundation, an organization my wife, Bethany, and I founded about 4 years ago now when the economy was booming in 2009. Everyone thought we were absolutely out of our minds, which, quite honestly, you have to kind of be out of your mind to do what we do, right? Can I get an amen? Amen from all the crazy people out there. So you have to have a little touch of crazy, or maybe a whole lot of crazy, to do what we do, to withstand all the attacks and the rejection and all that, because it doesn't matter, because there's a cause that far transcends our own personal feelings. So my wife and I decided that we wanted to expand what we had already been doing, just traveling and speaking about social issues. We had both worked in the inner city most of our adult lives, and we have seen such extreme brokenness in so many different areas. She's a teacher, has taught in inner city schools for years. I've worked as a creative professional in Ad Agency World and as a mentor in inner city programs, numerous inner city programs, and I have seen how possibility has been snuffed out left and right every single day in the black community especially. So we started the Radiance Foundation because we want to do three things. Our slogan is illuminate, educate, and motivate. We illuminate one simple truth that we all have irreplaceable intrinsic value, that the person next to you or a man outside, you know, these doors in some legislative building or a woman, they can't define your worth. And we always see throughout history what happens when individuals or institutions decide who is human enough. And we see the trail of destruction that follows. So we illuminate the simple truth that we all have irreplaceable intrinsic value given to us by God. We educate people about a myriad of social issues, the really comfortable social issues, and we want to motivate people to positive action. In fact, I want to give you just a little precursor here. This is my family. I have six brothers, six sisters, and these are, now this picture is just a few years old, because at that time there were only 29 grandchildren. There are now 34 grandchildren. It's grown quite a bit. You can see white, black, Native American, Vietnamese, black, America, right there. So this is my family I grew up with in Lancaster County, Pennsylvania. Love them like crazy. And my parents definitely have been the inspiration for me to live out a life of passion for other people and compassion for those who are in broken situations. Let me just tell you a little bit about some of the issues that we cover, some of the topics in our multimedia presentations across the country. The beauty of possibility, which is based on my favorite biblical chapter, Psalm 139. We're fearfully and wonderfully made, not because you were planned. In fact, most of us were unplanned. I mean, the best planning still oftentimes doesn't result in pregnancy anyway. Ask any parents in the room. But we're not fearfully and wonderfully made because we're planned. God, the creator of the universe, whether we were unplanned or not, knitted us together in our mother's womb. So we also take on pop culture, issues of pop culture. And this acronym stands for the power of purity. We talk about and kind of mock, quite honestly, social justice, at least today's version of social justice, which requires you to strip away rights from one group in order to give it to another group. So we have this initiative called So Show Justice. Less talk, more walk. And as Christians, that's what we should be doing anyway. self-control versus remote control, because we happen to believe that character still matters. Anybody else agree with that? Yes. Okay, half the room. That's great. And the other half? The other half will be talking to you later. The superhero, this is, my wife is a public speaker too. She's amazing. Changing the world one diaper at a time, it's what it says. Can I get an amen? Woo! Oh, wait, men, you were kind of silent. Can I get an amen for the men? Yeah, it sounded a little reluctant. And the History Project on Freedom has been revised. We're launching a new project to detail the true civil rights timeline, American history timeline, which will not gain us some friends in certain circles. But that's okay, because we're not here to necessarily make friends. We're here to set people free, because that's what the truth does. That's my little girl, Haley. There's a reason for that. I know if you're a parent, you like to dote on your child, and you like everybody think that they're the cutest thing in the world. And mine are, but, you know, I'm biased. But there's a reason, too, why she's part of this. Haley Radiance Bomberger is the reason for our organization. My wife was a single mom for a year, found herself in a situation that she tried to warn her students to avoid. And here she is in her mid-20s, finding herself pregnant and in a very abusive relationship at the time. And the shameful thing is that when a woman faces an unplanned pregnancy, oftentimes, of course, from Planned Parenthood and the abortion industry, they tell them the only possible outcome is misery. They don't tell them how much that child can beautifully transform your life. And Haley Radiance transformed my wife's life. She transformed my life. I became an instant daddy. I was her dad when she was one. And so Haley Radiance is very much the inspiration for why we do what we do. We have more ability than we'll ever know. And of course, when you have the greatest resource in the universe to back you up, which is whom? Yes. There's nothing you can't do. And so when we talk about the issue of abortion, it all boils down to certain human beings not being equal. Now, America has a history of making sure that certain human beings weren't treated as equal. We have a pretty repugnant history. And thankfully, white, black, and people from every kind of background fought against these injustices. And that's what the pro-life movement is today. It is the most beautiful multiracial, multigenerational, multi-denominational movement, I think, in the world. It is an awesome thing. So when we talk about not equal, we have to understand the background, the root of all of this, eugenics, which, for any of you who don't know, real quickly, is just a racist pseudoscience that attempted and continues to attempt to breed a superior race by eliminating the unfit. And at, you know, during the early part of the 20th century, mid part of the 20th century, you had a lot of rhetoric talking about how certain people were dysgenic. And those people would be the incarcerated, the disabled, those who were poor and black. So here you have a large part of the American population written off as unwanted and unfit. In fact, this is the entire philosophy of Planned Parenthood, founded by Margaret Sanger, and it didn't just begin and end with Margaret Sanger. The American eugenics movement was huge. She was a member of the American Eugenics Society, and many of those involved in Planned Parenthood continuing even today. Eugenics is alive and tragically well. In fact, I don't have the article here, but if you look, Detroit Free Press, February of this past year, of 2012, had an article entitled, "Michigan is Breeding Poverty." And in that, just like the eugenics movement during the 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, suggested that let's take the fluoride out of the water supply and put in contraceptives and sterilize which part of the population? If you know anything about Detroit, yes, eugenics is alive and tragically alive and well today. And here, I just want you to hear from the horse's mouth. Not that Margaret Sanger is a horse, but she was a... I would not insult horses like that. I grew up on a... Hey, I'm just saying. I grew up on a farm. I love horses and sheep and dogs and sometimes cats. But Margaret Sanger, there's nothing you can take out of context of anything that she's ever said. Read her books, Pivot of Civilization, Motherhood in Bondage, pretty much tells you what she thinks about motherhood. Read her Birth Control Review. Read many of them, and they're all available if you go to lifedynamics.com. Mark Crutcher out of Life Dynamics has a great library of all these that you can download and read. It's beyond shocking, especially because those same words are spoken today. But here's Margaret Sanger in 1957 interview with Mike Wallace, and he asked her, what is the greatest sin? We might need to turn this up just a little bit. It's a little soft.
Do you believe in sin? When I say believe, I don't mean in believe in committing sin. Do you believe there is such a thing as sin?
Well, I think the greatest sin in the world is bringing children into the world that have disease from their parents, that have no chance in the world to be a human being, practically. Delinquents, prisoners, all sorts of things, just marked when they're born. That, to me, is the greatest sin.
Just marked when they're born. I mean, aside from her incredible powers of ESP, to know how someone will turn out, this is the foundation of Planned Parenthood. Unplanned equals unwanted equals unloved. Therefore, the best remedy is abortion. But abortion, as we all know, is the antithesis to purpose. It crushes purpose every single day. And so what she misses out on is this. Anybody ever have your IQ measured? Okay, most of you in this room have. At one point or another, you've had your IQ measured. But this is something that can never be measured. This is something because our humanity defies the odds all the time. And that's what makes us, that's what makes life so great. When we conquer the seemingly insurmountable. And we do it all the time. In fact, let me just ask you, how many of you have ever accomplished something you never thought you could accomplish before? Okay, about 30% of you. Self-esteem session is next door. Wow. Okay, how many of you have ever exceeded somebody else's expectations of you? Yes. Oh, yeah, okay, I did. I've done that. No one can ever possibly measure our possibility. I mean, even those in the medical field, and there may be some in here, and I'm not insulting you, but sometimes you're wrong. Sometimes you're really wrong. No one can possibly know. That is the beauty of our humanity and the beauty of a God who defies the impossible every single day. But the problem is, in fact, with two capital P's, anybody ever been to Houston? Yeah, Houston, we have a problem. Have you ever seen that monstrosity of a building that is the Planned Parenthood Mega Abortion Center in Houston? It is massive. And for anyone who's ever been there, it is in the middle. I mean, it is completely surrounded. It's a multi-million dollar building. It's surrounded by a completely impoverished neighborhood. I mean, there is no denying it. It is this, can't say shining beacon. It's shiny, all right. It's unbelievable. So when you see something like this and you hear them talking about the real war on women and about, you know, crying about the fact that how could you possibly defund Planned Parenthood? Well, you kill people. That's how we could possibly defund Planned Parenthood. And where does this source come from? From the Texas native, Cecile Richards, president of Planned Parenthood. You know, history is quite simple, actually. It's a circle. We repeat ourselves over and over and over again and think ourselves better than previous generations. How could they have ever done this? How could they have ever done that? And we're in the middle of it all over again. Cecile Richards is no different than Margaret Sanger. She espouses the exact same ideology. She is the president of Planned Parenthood. For those of you who don't know, she is the founder of the Texas Freedom Network, which many people don't know, which is an extremely anti-Christian organization. But they do promote marriage. They do. Gay marriage. It is the only form of marriage that they do promote. She is also the trustee of the Ford Foundation, which is the world's largest population control entity, funding billions of dollars into pro-abortion groups, including Planned Parenthood. We all probably saw this in the last election cycle, Obama spokesperson. And though this is not an official role, she has become an MSNBC co-host for the five people that watch MSNBC. You would know that. But she is on there with Melissa Harris Perry, if you've ever seen her. She never goes on challenged by anybody because it's really easy to dismantle a pro-abortion argument. And Cecile Richards loves the comfortability of not being challenged by mainstream media. And you could probably say she has a lot of friends in mainstream media. So here, what this has resulted in, and we have this on TooManyAborted.com. You can download this PDF at TooManyAborted.com/choicekills or just go to the main site. And here's a downloadable fact sheet that just breaks down some of the numbers. The top number just shows how much choice is an absolute sham. 333,964. That's how many abortions Planned Parenthood performed in 2011. The highest number of abortions they've ever performed. Now compare that to how many prenatal services they provide. And this is not actually per woman. This is really deceptive. 28,674 is not per woman. It's per visit. So it could be one woman having 12 different prenatal visits. This is how they count that. 28,674. This comes from Abby Johnson, and she knows a little bit about Planned Parenthood and the way they do their numbers. 2,300. That's how many adoption referrals they made. So that equates to 145 abortions for every one adoption referral. And yet they tout themselves as a pro-choice organization. The numbers, if you look down here, 542.4, that's how many million they received in 2011 from, touch your pocket. Yeah, your pocket from my pocket. $500 million. And here's the most crucial part of that. It's through Title X funding, which apparently doesn't pay for abortions. It's bizarre. You can't show how your money isn't used to pay for abortions when your name is synonymous with abortion, being the largest abortion chain in America. They don't sell french fries. It's absurd. But 87.4 million is how much they've made. 50 is how many states, all of our states, unless, well, I won't go there. Some politicians think there are more than 50 states. But I won't mention any names. But in 50 states, they spend millions and millions of dollars stopping the most basic common sense pro-life protections. The next number you see is 49. This is a crucial number when it comes to the $500 million they get from our pockets. And that is the unintended pregnancy rate. It hasn't budged, according to the CDC, the National Unintended Pregnancy Rate, hasn't budged since 1995. So they continue to get $500 million a year to fail. Of course, we all know that that failure is intentional. They have no intentions of reducing the unintended pregnancy rate because unintended pregnancies and their elimination make them a lot of money. So you can download that from TooManyAborted.com. And this is what has made them a billion-dollar empire. This is the building in Houston. It is massive. And for any of you who've ever heard of Houston Coalition for Life, they have this tiny little mobile CPC right outside of that building. It is awesome. You want to see David versus Goliath. Tiny little bus, massive Aztec temple. It's ridiculous. And they are saving lives. They have this incredible equipped bus with ultrasound, this massive HD screen, so the women can actually see their ultrasound. It is awesome. And they're saving lives, not just of the unborn children, but of those women whose lives would have been short-circuited as mothers by Planned Parenthood just across the street. So my wife and I decided a few years ago when we started the Radiance Foundation, hey, why don't we take on two really easy topics, abortion and race in the South. Yeah, not exactly easy. So we decided, we met with a wonderful friend of ours and colleague, Catherine Davis of Georgia Right to Life, and came up with this billboard campaign, Black Children Are Endangered Species, TooManyAborted.com. And Georgia Right to Life paid for the billboards, 80 billboards all around Atlanta. Let me just say, we weren't exactly prepared for the reaction. Now, I knew it was thought-provoking. I knew that because, you know, when you grow up in a family of 15 and you need a little bit of attention, and typically it wasn't exactly positive attention. Sometimes it was the negative attention. But I knew that it was going to move some people, but it just exploded. Let me show you some of the billboards that we've placed, hundreds, 550 billboards plus in major cities across the country. And so it started off in Georgia with this campaign. And I'll tell you what, it's amazing since that time to have met some of the most amazing civil rights leaders, the most passionate pro-lifers you've ever met, just like those of you gathered in this room. Black and Unwanted to dispel the whole myth that black children are not wanted in the adoption system. Black and Beautiful, which we placed in Oakland and San Francisco Bay Area, quite conservative area. There was a positive response there. And in Atlanta, and one of my favorites, Fatherhood Begins in the Womb. We have a... And this is one of the latest ones we placed in Arkansas, in Little Rock, the home of civil rights history, where the dehumanization of people of my complexion was ended by ending segregation. The Little Rock Nine, it has a very special place in history. And so we work with Arkansas Right to Life, and we place these billboards to highlight the disproportionate impact of abortion in the black community. And it's not just abortion that has disproportionately impacted the black community. The lack of adoption, of children available for adoption, of parents willing to adopt. So we've got a crisis, and all of our campaigns, of course, highlight adoption and parenthood as the only two life-affirming alternatives, but adoption even more so, and I'll talk about that in a moment. But when we talk about the disproportionate impact of abortion, it's always explained away by Guttmacher Institute and Planned Parenthood. It's a lack of access. Lack of access. That's why black women have higher abortion rates. Well, yeah, let me understand this. Black women, and abortions occur in the black community up to 6 times more than in the majority population. So how is there a lack of access? If they're getting there 6 times more to these clinics that supposedly provide reproductive health care and all the full spectrum of contraception, how is there possibly a lack of access among those who are accessing these clinics more? And where that happens, of course, that lack of access is in New York City, where black babies are aborted 5.8 times more than white babies, where more black babies are aborted than are born alive. For every 1,000 black babies that are born in New York City, 1,489 are killed by abortion. This is the home of Planned Parenthood. It's not an accident. It's not a coincidence. It's all been by historical design. In fact, I want to show you, this is something that's just happened in the last 2 days. There's a new campaign by the New York Department of Human Resource Administration, Department of Social Services, and they launched this new teenage pregnancy prevention campaign. And it's helpful to understand the context. New York City has the most access to contraception of people of any age than anywhere else in the United States. And it's been like that for a long time. They also now are giving out morning after pill to children without any consent, children as young as 12, without any consent from their parents. This is New York City. So here they launched this billboard campaign, and Planned Parenthood says, and I quote here, and I think this is a whole PR stunt, by the way. I don't believe that there's any outrage from Planned Parenthood about this campaign. They say this creates stigma, hostility, and negative public opinions about teen pregnancy and parenthood, rather than offering alternative aspirations for young people. Okay, let's look at alternative aspirations. What alternative does Planned Parenthood offer? In a city that has more abortions than the entire state of Texas, 80,000 abortions, more than 80,000 abortions in New York City, Planned Parenthood being the center of all that. And they're talking about how they're not offering alternatives. What alternatives do they offer? They spend millions of dollars trying to shut down the only alternative that even exists, for the most part, in New York City, the pregnancy care centers, trying to silence them. So here, I want to show you just some of these images. This is the new campaign. The left says, I'm twice as likely not to graduate high school because you had me as a teen. Dad, you'll be paying to support me for the next 20 years. Or got a job, I cost thousands of dollars each year. I think it's a complete PR stunt from Planned Parenthood to feign this outrage. It just gets them reported, and it gets teens to know, oh, once again, here's a reminder, go to Planned Parenthood. We care about your future, not your child's future. Well, not yours either. So this is the reality of what's happening in New York City and this whole lack of access. There is none. In fact, protectingblacklife.org, Reverend Arnold Culbreth, a good friend and just an awesome, passionate pro-life pastor, did the study recently, and it showed that 79% of all abortion clinics, surgical abortion clinics, are located in majority black and Hispanic neighborhoods within walking distance. It's not an accident. It's not coincidence. It has been by design. In fact, the Guttmacher Institute, which I mentioned earlier, always backs up Planned Parenthood and whatever falsified stats they throw out there, whatever nonsense they throw out there, like childbirth is far more dangerous than abortion. And so you had Alan F. Guttmacher, who was the president of Planned Parenthood, also the founder of Guttmacher Institute, was also an OBGYN. And at one point in his book, Life in the Making, he said, there is no question we know when life begins, at the moment of conception. And as is typical with a pro-abortion worldview, you have to kick out science. You have to kick out actual history. You have to remove yourself from any kind of statistics and just throw, just a lot of BS out there. And that's what ends up happening. When he became the president of Planned Parenthood, he said that we can't possibly know when life begins. Well, he was also instrumental in helping Roe v. Wade, and of course abortion becoming legalized in New York City in 1970. And so when you hear the news report, the Guttmacher Institute, They always call them this nonpartisan sort of organization. They're funded by Planned Parenthood. They call themselves unaffiliated. In the last 7 years, according to Planned Parenthood's 990 tax forms, that unaffiliation gave $2.1 million to Guttmacher Institute and calls them on their 990 an affiliate. I would like to be unaffiliated. Not with Planned Parenthood, unaffiliated with maybe Google or with Microsoft or something. That's nice. Unaffiliation has its perks. So here we are, Guttmacher Institute that regularly lies, and in a report they stated that abortion services are concentrated in cities. Then because it doesn't bolster what Planned Parenthood's saying by arguing, oh wait, most of our centers are not in the inner city. No, not at all. They reduced that down to 9%. Only 9% of abortion clinics are located in cities. In fact, we're just going to eliminate all the clinics that perform 400 or less abortions from the count. They're just going to be completely eliminated. It's pretty arbitrary, isn't it? I mean, what is it if it's not an abortion clinic? If you perform less than 400, according to Guttmacher. So we decided that we're going to spread some truth through Motown. And so we created this spot called Weeping Guttmacher.
Weeping Guttmacher, baby.
All right. I'm sorry that the Had Enough could not be here today. She would have sang live. I have to kind of skip over some of this because I want to leave a little room for Q&A, but I'm going to touch on this. We were approached, you could say, by the NAACP. They didn't like some of my articles criticizing them, calling them the National Association for the Abortion of Colored People. And so, yeah. It's so funny. I mean, total David and Goliath. I don't know who they think we are. They must think we're bigger than we are, but let them keep thinking that. The reality is they feel threatened, and so they threatened to sue us for trademark infringement. Some people call it telling the truth. So if you've supported in a resolution in 2004 supporting Planned Parenthood, NARAL, and abortion as a right as basic as eating at a lunch counter, then you should be held to account. So we did, and so we ended up suing them in order to protect ourselves because we had to ask a judge, not for monetary damages at all, it's just to ask a judge to dismiss the case based on the fact that it's a free speech issue. So I just want to play a little clip from you, from NAACP, so you can understand why all the evidence against them. Here he is praising the high abortion rates among black women.
And today, black women exercise that precious right at a rate far exceeding their percentage in the population. And large majorities identify themselves as pro-choice.
This is at the NARAL Pro-Choice Fundraising Gala. This was the former chairman of the board of the NAACP, and it's the current position of the NAACP. So we will keep on calling them out. They can denounce us. ACLU has denounced us. Planned Parenthood has denounced us. So we know we're doing something right. Because, yes, yes, yes. Because when it all comes down to it, when we allow abortion as the supposed solution, I mean, think of it. Look at other social ills that surround us. Do we apply death as the solution to that social ill? Of course, I'm not calling a baby a social ill. Unintended pregnancy rates, which, as I've shown, Planned Parenthood has not reduced, and they don't plan on reducing because it would reduce their blood revenue. So I want to talk to you about what I'm so passionate about and the fact that we as a pro-life movement need to embrace more and more the reality that adoption unleashes purpose. Adoption also fights poverty in many ways. Single female-led homes, children who grow up in single female-led homes are 5 times more likely to grow up in poverty. We don't often think of adoption as part of a solution to poverty. But sometimes the best parenting choice for a single woman facing unplanned pregnancy, the most loving parenting choice that she can make, is making a plan for adoption. And so we created this new adoption campaign with Bethany Christian Services and a pregnancy medical clinic out in California called Real Options. And the tagline is turn the unplanned into a loving plan. And we traveled around about 4 different states and captured adoptee stories of how they've been adopted and loved. And one of those young people is Johnny Moses, awesome young guy. He's a college student, loves working with young kids, incredibly musically gifted, and he's loved like crazy. Here's a short story. It's called Meet Johnny Moses.
I was adopted when I was 3 days old. My family loves me a lot. I love them just as much as they love me, both my adoptive family and my birth family. My birth mom was 16 and pregnant. I can't even imagine how hard it was for her. But she chose life and made me possible. Turn the unplanned into a loving plan. No other plans.
I love that spot because what it doesn't tell you, the longer version... We're launching Adopted and Loved in May, on May 1st. That's National Foster Care Awareness Month. And we're launching that. And you'll be able to see these video vignettes of these beautiful stories. But in Johnny Moses' story, his mother, who placed him for adoption, she went through the pregnancy, gave him life, also became a nurse, a very successful nurse, successful profession, happily married. Obviously, you saw the pictures of her and her other children as well. And so purpose was able to be lived out not just by Johnny Moses, but by his mother and, of course, the family that came as a result of her being able to embrace a life full of purpose, too. In the United States, 136,000 children are adopted annually. Compare that to the number of abortions, 1.21 million, dwarfs it. And this is, maybe about 20,000 to 30,000. We don't have accurate numbers because there's no federal mandate to report adoption numbers. So there are about 20,000 to 30,000 that are newborn. About 50,000 are adopted out of foster care. And others are international adoptions. We can do a lot better. If the abortion industry, through their faux initiative called the Adoption Access Network, can say that we can take the mantle of adoption, what? How on one hand can you say this life can easily be exterminated, and on the other hand say, well, if you're not killed, maybe a family will want you. But the abortion industry is at least putting out that rhetoric that they can carry both of them, and we know they can't. But the pro-life movement needs to do a lot better job individually, as churches. There's a lot more that we can do. In fact, I don't know if you've seen Planned Parenthood's new slogan. Yes, it's right there. I know, they said it's care no matter what, but the reality is... No, I'm serious, this is the truth. Hold on. This is what they say about adoption. The psychological responses to abortion are far less serious than those experienced by women bringing their unwanted pregnancy to term and relinquishing the child for adoption. So 40 years of Roe can't even give adoption the moral equivalency of abortion. They still tout it as far worse. So when we talk about adoption, look at these are the numbers, and this is the tragedy. Less than 2% of women place their newborn children for adoption. And as Star mentioned, we've got a fatherlessness epidemic in our country. And the stigma of being, you know, having a baby out of wedlock is, you know, basically been erased. But what hasn't been erased are the huge consequences to those children. The huge consequences to those women who were never meant to play the role of both mother and father. Where are our men? 40 years of Roe have given us a culture of abandonment. So when I talk about adoption, one of the articles I wrote for Life News, Steve Jobs changed the world. Adoption changed his. And it was shared over 57.5 thousand times on Facebook because people could then put together something tangible with something that was way abstract. And that's what we need to do when we share our stories, is we make the intangible very tangible. In fact, as mentioned, I am the 1%. I'm the 1% that is used all the time to justify 100% of abortions. All the time. people say we should just stay away from it. Certain political party that has lost its mind and its spine has said that we need to run away from the issue of rape. Well, you can run away all you want, but the liberal news media is always going to bring you back to it, and you need to have an answer for it. So, this is the reason why I'm so passionate. A mother and a father who embraced 10 children out of adoption, 3 homemade, and this is... Yes, and then they imported all the rest of us, and I was the first one adopted, so apparently things went really well, and they kept going. But this is our little crew, white, black, Native American, Vietnamese and black, albino black, just family. And the reason why adoption was unleashed, I mean, purpose was unleashed, not just in those who were adopted, but in every person in that family. I mean, adoption doesn't just transform the child. It transforms the family. It transforms the community. And for every day of my life, the reason why I will forever, forever be passionate about this whole issue and push adoption as an act of love, an act of justice, and of mercy is this. How about this? I know I was meant to be. This life was meant for me. So you went through so much pain. All your tears, they were not in vain. Thank you.
How do you get these short clips shown today to share with our black churches?
Very good question. You can go to the radiancefoundation.org. All the videos that you've seen here, you can see there. You can also go to toomanyaborted.com, which is our abortion awareness initiative. And we're also, well, we just finished, they're supposed to be here today, and sadly they are not, DVDs that not only you can watch it, but you can also pull off of the disc all the QuickTimes and WMV files. So if you want to put in PowerPoint or anything like that, and those will be available to on our website. And if you ever want to write to me and just need a copy, we'll be more than happy to send you a copy. So go to theradiancefoundation.org starting Tuesday, and those videos will be available for however you want to use them.
Okay. They've heard that that there are no mammogram machines in Planned Parenthood clinics. Is this true? Because they were told by a friend that her close friend is alive today only because she had a mammogram at Planned Parenthood.
Well, Planned Parenthood suffers from a condition called mythomania. They make up stuff all the time. No, in fact, Live Action has this great video. If you just Google Mammosham, you will see they do not have the machines because they don't want to spend money on those machines. But this is the same organization, by the way. If you go to their website and look under About Us and you read about Margaret Sanger, they say, in Margaret Sanger's America, women couldn't vote. Well, the 19th Amendment was passed in 1920. Margaret Sanger died in 1966. So women could vote in Margaret Sanger's America. They lie about everything.
Can we get another hand for Ryan and the work that he is doing?
You have been listening to Ryan Scott Bomberger, Chief Creative Officer of the Radiance Foundation and the 2013 Bringing America Back to Life Symposium Speaker.